As we get, while the calendar says it's spring, obviously Mother Nature is a little confused by where the calendar is. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we can do and farmers can be doing ahead of spring planting to be ready to go once the weather clears.
Certainly. As you've noticed on our website, we have actually released, we typically do this every spring, and it's just talking about issues that farmers need to be aware of as we do prepare for the spring. Unfortunately, I'm still not sure it's going to be late. We'll wait and let Mother Nature dictate that for us. But just a couple of things that we put out there as far as some educational content for farmers and for consultants for farmers. And the number one thing that we have on our list is don't discount the use of starters in your fertilizer budget. Specifically in a year like this year, based upon the fall, we're not terribly certain just how many acres were actually receive their typical fall application of fertilizers. It's very, very geographically isolated. We had some areas that had near 100% coverage where they got applied what they typically want to get done in the fall. And then I know of other areas where they were maybe more on the magnitude of 30%. So farmers are thinking, okay, if I didn't make that fall application, do I really need to consider a starter application? And starters can certainly be beneficial in a lot of those scenarios where, let's say they didn't get out what they wanted to do in the fall, and they have the capability of supplying some starter fertilization, it would certainly be something that we would recommend. The other thing when we talk about starter fertilizers, it tends to be very geographic in nature. I live in the Eastern Corn Belt, and the use of starter fertilizers is fairly common. That it becomes less so as you move further to the west, specifically as you get into parts of Eastern Nebraska, Central Nebraska. They traditionally don't supply as much in the way of starter fertilizers. And for me, I'm a big fan of starter fertilizers, and the biggest reason I am is it's a really good insurance program for my operation. Specifically, if I'm supplying the bulk of my nitrogen fertility after that crop has been planted. That's the biggest reason I recommend it here in the Eastern Corn Belt. There are other reasons to supply it, though. We can get a benefit from the incorporation of some phosphorus into that starter material. More specifically, we see the yield benefits of phosphorus in starter when we have lower testing phosphorus soil. So it's that soil that I haven't been making the types of investments in large-scale phosphorus fertilization for my fields, and if I can put some phosphorus into that starter because my soil test levels are lower, I can certainly see the benefit from the inclusion of phosphorus. We also tend to see it when we have that cooler spring. And again, I'm not saying we're set up for that scenario, but if things continue the way they have the last couple of years, that's sort of where we're headed. And then if we do get delayed, which we saw last year, if we do get delayed on planting, if I include some phosphorus in my starter, I can also see some benefits. And the other area where I typically recommend a little starter phosphorus, and as you can tell, there's a lot of context to these recommendations, is if I'm in a conservation tillage system, I've got a lot of surface residue laying on top of my soil. It's keeping my soil temperatures depressed. Again, that's more of a contribution to that colder soil temp, as we typically see with a colder spring. I can see a benefit from some phosphorus inclusion in my starter. So that's the first big tip is don't discount starter fertilizers for your operation. And the second one is, with regard to nutrient management, there's so many things that impact our ability to produce a good yield in the world of agriculture, specifically in the world of crop production. And obviously the biggest one is weather phenomenon. What type of growing season do I have? Do I experience long stretches of drought stress during that crop's growth? Do I experience heat stress during pollination? Do I experience heat stress during grain fill? All of these things impact what I'm ultimately going to harvest at the end of the year. But what we have to remember as agronomists is our primary job is to identify yield-limiting factors and remove them. I mean, that for me is essentially what the term agronomist means. And one of the best ways we can go about doing that is to incorporate a good fertility program where I use all the tools at my disposal, whether that's, I mean, the biggest one is obviously soil testing. The one thing that I think a lot of farmers tend to discount is their own knowledge and experience on the farms that they're operating on. Do you have a history of seeing things like phosphorus stress early in the growing season? Do you have a history of seeing potassium stress as that crop approaches pollination? do you see nitrogen stress as you, again, even before you pop that tassel? Some of your own experience as a farmer should contribute to the way that you manage your inputs to ensure that you're setting yourself up for success. And at the end of the day, when it comes to the use of fertilizers to maximize productivity, that's all we can do. The Mother Nature will allow what she will allow, but our goal is to set ourselves up for the highest probability of success within our operation. And obviously, we got to be very mindful of profitability when we have that conversation. And then the final tip is, and this happens every spring, and I understand why farmers do this, but don't rush too quickly to get your seeds in the ground. It seems like I talk to farmers almost every year, and invariably, and again, I understand the reasons why, they get a little anxious, and I understand it because they see that I've got an opportunity to plant today. It's a little bit wet. The ground isn't quite fit. I know that the next seven-day forecast is calling for 4 potential days of rain. If I don't get it in now, I may be out maybe 10 days to 2 weeks. And so they'll go ahead and plant when the ground isn't fit. And the easiest way to decrease the yield potential of any of the crops that we establish is to do something to hurt the root development of that crop. And if we get in when it's a little bit wet and we create some sidewall compaction because of our culture openers, or the openers on our planters, that's the easiest way to decrease yield potential if the weather pattern doesn't support that plant's ability to produce a good crop with that poorly developed root system. So we need to do all we can to ensure that that ground is fit before we ever get out there and make that planting, do that planting operation. And those are the three big ones: use a starter, position yourself for success within your fertilization program, and don't rush into fields that aren't quite fit for planting.